Fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen, because it's time for the Classic and Mike Show, New York's premier sports show since 1938. Now, here are your hosts, Classic Shelb and Mike.
Welcome to the Classic and Mike Show. Classic Shelb, how are you?
Doing great, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic today. The NFL season is right around the corner, Shelby. There's a lot of buzz around maybe the most polarizing division in football, the NFC East. Two of those teams, the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants, square off on Sunday night on NBC first week of the season. What do we expect to see from the Giants this season?
I expect the Giants to contend for the championship. I know they did not make the playoffs last year at 9-7, but they've added some key players, you know, wide receiver. They had Lewis Murphy, a new tight end, and Brandon Myers. They did lose Ahmad Bradshaw and O.C. Umeniora. That could be a heavy blow, but Eli Manning has led them to two Super Bowls, so I can never count this team out, especially with that. They do have a great receiving core.
The Giants obviously have a great receiving core. Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz to name the two prominent stars there. And the backfield is very good. Second-year player out of Virginia Tech, David Wilson, been very explosive in training camp and was great last season for them. They will contend, of course, with the Cowboys on that Sunday night game, who come loaded as well. The receiving core, Dez Bryant, maybe the second-best receiver behind Calvin Johnson in the league. Miles Austin, if he's healthy, is always very difficult to stop. And of course, Tony Romo at times looks like a top 10 quarterback and at times does not. The Cowboys' biggest change this offseason has been the introduction of Monty Kiffin and the Tampa 2 defense. They have shifted DeMarcus Ware from an outside pass rusher to now a defensive end. The Cowboys and the Giants are very similar because they both have ends that can get to the quarterback in Pierre Paul and Ware, and they both have talented receivers. The question mark really will be quarterback.
Yeah, the Cowboys at quarterback, definitely, that's their biggest problem. I don't think Tony Romo will ever get it done at all. He just does not have what it takes, either mentally, plus his game is just off. He's never going to come into the clutch. He's shown that his entire career over like 6-7 seasons.
There are definitely times he struggled. I mean, last year, week 17 against the Washington Redskins, he threw a couple of atrocious interceptions. We remember the dropped fumble against the Seahawks in the playoffs. But then there are times he looks great. He's the ultimate enigma. He's the opposite of Eli Manning, who at times in the regular season does not look great, but in clutch times is fantastic.
I'd rather have the player who's just terrible during the off season but comes through when it counts. I mean, that last season, that's why you signed the player. That's why you give him the big contract, and he just blew it against the Redskins in the final game.
There's no doubt he struggled, but I'm optimistic for Tony Romo. He does a lot of things well. He moves around well. He does not run like a Robert Griffin does, but he can avoid pressure. He's accurate. He has a strong arm. If he can just get the ball to his receivers without making a huge amount of mistakes with the improved defense, the Cowboys should be fine. The Giants have some of their own challenges, though. Their offensive line is difficult, and their tight end situation, even though they brought in a couple new players, is still up in the air. Do you think that regardless of who they have around him, Eli Manning can elevate all of his players?
Yeah, he can. He may not look like he can. I mean, just the way he plays, plus the look on his big dumb face. But he can elevate the people around him and make them play better and just make the crucial plays that you have to make. I mean, he's come through in the clutch even better than his brother has, and his brother's a future Hall of Famer.
Eli is definitely the most clutch quarterback in the family. He's much, much more pressure savvy than Peyton is. The NFC also has a couple other interesting things. Robert Griffin III coming back, so the Redskins could be a difficult team to deal with. And, of course, the Eagles have had a ton of offseason turmoil. They don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. And, of course, they have the Riley Cooper issue, which is never a good thing to have for any team.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be that big of a distraction. I mean, he probably wasn't going to be that big of a impact player anyway. And, I mean, they did lose Macklin for the year. They still have DeSean Jackson. He's one of the best, I think, underrated players. But, yeah, the whole Cooper situation got blown out of proportion anyway. I don't think it's going to affect them, really.
And if they get a full season out of Michael Vick, who looks healthy, they should be fine. when he's on his game, there are not many quarterbacks in the league that can bring a dual threat like he can. Do you feel confident with Tom Coughlin as your coach, who has a couple Super Bowl rings, but at times has not done the job as the coach for the Giants? Last season is an example.
Yeah, I think Tom Coughlin is, I mean, fine. He'd proven it with two Super Bowls. You got to give him the confidence to make the mistakes and then, you know, come through in the clutch like this whole team has shown. Just with the countless comeback victories, they have this great receiving core. It's, you know, you wonder if Hakeem Nicks can come through. He's just had injuries all 4 years, hasn't even played a full season in any of his 4 years, and just had a down year last year. But with him and Cruz, they arguably one of the best receiving cores in the league. And then you mentioned David Wilson before. I mean, week 14, he had 327 all-purpose yards with three touchdowns against the Giants. I mean, the Saints, rather. But so the loss of Bradshaw, will it be that big of an impact? I don't think so.
They definitely have one of the most potent offenses in football. To me, a concern would be the offensive line. They don't know exactly who's going to be at which position. There's been a lot made of their first-round draft pick, Pug, who's the tackle at Syracuse. We don't know exactly where he's going to play. There's a lot going on there. And they always seem to make a late-season run, the Giants do. When it is looking them straight in the face, they always seem to come together and play well. We've seen that with their two postseason runs where they won Super Bowls, including two victories over the Patriots. But it will be a very interesting season in the NFC, to say the least, as we transition from the NFC's football. Shelby, you had some stuff on your mind. What do you want to kick around?
Well, first I want to get to the weather, Bob. I mean, that's what people really want to know. For our New York affiliates, well, you know, we got a cool 81 degrees coming this Saturday. You know, finally some good weather. I know we had some rain earlier this week. You know, we had to get out the weather jacket, get those dogs and cats in. It's gonna cool down this weekend, too. We're going to see if we can get those temperatures up. There's going to be some light sprinkles, so you got a dog or a kid, maybe your cat, get him outside early. It's going to be hell on earth the afternoon. Good one, Ba. So, coming up here, I've noticed, like, a lot of sports movies. I'm a big movie buff. But, you know, a lot of times in movies, the actors, they get a lot of stuff wrong. Like, they're not even, like, sure if they've even seen the sport being played before they actually start playing, like, the character in the movie. Plus, the, you know, the research team, they get so many things wrong. You wonder, like, you know, can you at least put some effort into the actual athletic part of the movie? You know, first of all, you know, playing sports out of season. It's The Blind Side, that movie. They're playing football in November. All the flowers in bloom. The grass is completely green. Like, just a shocking green. Like, the greenest you've ever seen a field. In the middle of November, you think you could mess that up a little bit. I mean, after all, it's a high school, after all. I mean, it's not an NFL field that's getting maintained constantly. Then unathletic actors playing, you know, athletes. I mean, you could at least, like, beef up a little bit. You know, you don't just have to come straight there, put on a jersey, and then suddenly you're an athlete. You watch Sports Center, they're in peak physical conditions. I mean, you never see that. What are some you hate?
I definitely think that movies like Cinderella Man with the boxing scene, they got it right. It seemed to be a give and take and look more like boxing than movies like Rocky, where people get rocked in the face. They get back up. Ivan Drago, I mean, hit Rocky Balboa literally through the ropes and he pops back up like nothing ever happened. And there are other movies like Jerry Maguire, if you see that movie, Cuba Gooding Jr., when he plays Rod Tidwell, the receiver for the Cardinals, he looks like he could be a receiver. He's obviously not, you know, Randy Moss out there, but he stands like a receiver. He looks kind of Wes Welker-ish in terms of his body stature. It could happen, whereas there are other movies where it's not even close.
Like another one, Tom Cruise in All the Right Moves in the 80s. This guy has never seen a football game being played. He's a cornerback in the movie. You haven't seen it. And, you know, if you're a cornerback or a wide receiver, you're lining up to begin the play. You're relaxed. You're loose. Tom Cruise gets into, like, a karate stance. Like, he's just ready to fight the guy. I mean, watch some game tape, Tom, before you line up. I mean, and earlier in the movie, you don't play the ball. in football. You play the man. That's what I've always heard. And then he plays the ball after his coach, you know, tells him not to. He gets in trouble for it and then storms off angrily. It's one of the worst, like, accurate sports movies I've ever seen. It's pretty unwatchable these days.
It reminds me of Any Given Sunday. There's that scene with the trainer, you know, who alters and doctors the medical report.
Right.
I can't imagine a trainer is really going to put his entire practice on the line just so a linebacker can get a bonus. That never seemed to make much sense to me. I never understood it. Plus, I had a real hard time picturing Dennis Quaid jumping and flipping helicopter style like John Elway into the end zone. I never kind of saw that. Right. It just didn't seem to fit.
They're always practicing on like the same field as like the cheerleaders too. Like you don't have a separate, you know, area for them. When do you ever see that? You know, the coach would be like, can you get these girls out of here? We're trying to like practice on a football field here.
It's like in The Replacements. You ever see that movie? Right. They have the cheerleaders all over the field. Then they have that scene where Keanu Reeves is getting game intel right from the cheerleader. I can't imagine a head coach does not have game intel on other players. It just doesn't seem to make sense that a cheerleader is going to be the one that carries the burden of getting information to the quarterback.
Another is play-by-play announcers being heard, like, over the PA in the whole stadium. Like, you'd think a quarterback wants to hear, like, himself being critiqued, like, while he's playing. That would never happen.
There's nothing better than when you're actually dropping back to pass. You hear the echo of a stadium terrible sound system saying, Shelby drops back to pass, pass. There's nothing better that gets the blood rolling there.
Mike, what is your favorite sports movie? Of all time.
I guess my favorite sports movie of all time, probably, even though I just bashed it, is probably Rocky IV, because I don't think there's anything better than watching him beat Ivan Drago. I really like that scene when he's like hitting him like a piece of iron. That makes my day, because I love the fact that they build Ivan Drago up for this guy who's unbeatable, right? He kills Apollo Creed, and it can't get any more tough or any more difficult. And then Rocky, like, gets the snot knocked out of him, then he gets up and beats him down. Like, that would never, ever happen.
For me, it has to be the 1997 Academy Award-winning film, Air Bud. I had to watch this every time it's on TV. But, it, like, you know, so many unanswered questions. Like, did they have to kick a player off the team just to make room for the Golden Retriever? Like, I'd love to hear that conversation go down. Like, okay, Timmy, you've put in a lot of effort. You know, I know your mom. You know, I've seen her talk to her when she dropped me off at practice. But Zach over here, his dog is amazing. He can hit basketballs off his nose. I mean, if you want to come watch the practice, you know, maybe someone will twist an ankle. I could give you some playing and practice time. But we're going to have to give this canine a shot.
Plus, I never figured out how did the dog dribble without getting the ball stolen from him, right? I mean, was he going to bounce off his face with the paw? It'd be very difficult.
And he's 2 feet tall. Like, you can't, it's not like he's doing any crossover moves. You can't really defend that. I just want to know how this movie was even pitched. Like, okay, we got like a dog playing basketball in a scene. No. This is the whole movie. Like, that's what they're going to go with, a whole movie of a basketball playing dog. It's a risk, but it certainly worked. Another thing about Air Bud, going back to that, was he like attending classes? I mean, you had to get like a certain GPA to play. I mean, they're just gonna write he's a dog on the grade point average. I mean, what did he get? He's not getting a 70 in math. I'm pretty sure that's what you got to get on.
That would be exceptionally difficult for him to do multiplication and division, let alone use a graphing calculator in his class. It's almost like the NCAA should have been investigating him instead of Johnny Manziel.
I mean, I would have thrown a tennis ball onto the court, possibly some squirrels. That would distract them right there, game over. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I would have maybe even thrown a jersey onto a vacuum cleaner, rolled that out, see how that works out.
If I was the opposing coach, I don't know why he didn't just bring it back treats, right? Come on here, Air Bud, and you make him sit. As if he's like the goalie, you can make him sit. If he's the receiver, you could like distract him so he doesn't catch it. Besides, I never understood how he jumps 10 feet over a cornerback to catch the ball in the Air Bud football movie.
Yeah, they've made several. I had to tap out with the MMA one. That one just, it kind of offended me. I mean, you're seeing a dog being pulverized like that. That's all the time we have here on the Classic and Mike show. Mike, it's been fun.
It's been real.
It's been the best 15 minutes of your life. We've laughed, we've cried, we've shared some tender moments, but that's all the time we have here today.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can get us on Twitter.
That is at Classic Show.
Or at Fifth Down Mike.
That's all the time we have. It has been fun on the Classic and Mike Show.
Good night, everybody.
Touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline. Good times never seem so good. I've been inclined